Today I spoke with Coach Mike Greshick. Coach Mike started his career fairly late in his life, or as he likes to say, backwards. 3 years after leading his own high school program, he decided to pursue college coaching and landed the assistant gig at Aurora University in Illinois. We chat about his journey, mistakes made, lessons taught, and so much more. Let's roll it back and see how the conversation went. All right, Coach, so what got you into coaching, and at what point did you realize this was the career for you?
What got me into coaching is probably two or three things. I started late in my life in coaching. As I like to say, it's kind of the backwards approach. Usually people who get into coaching get into it right out of college. And I spent about 12 or 14 years in the corporate world upon graduating from college. And when my oldest daughter was old enough to participate in sports, they were, as youth organizations are always doing, they're looking for coaches, volunteered to coach kind of just started to move forward from there. Coaching everything from basketball to soccer to softball to you name it. And then I finally realized that, after my first year as a freshman high school girls basketball coach, that this was a career I wanted to pursue. I was already at that time, I think I was about 40 or 41. And I just kind of sat back and thought, when my father coached me when I was a young kid growing up, he coached me in football and in baseball. And, most of the neighbor kids' parents were his assistant coaches. And I just kind of remember the camaraderie of them all coming over to our house and, sitting and talking, not just about sports and coaching and specifics, but also life and things of that nature. And then when I was a seventh grader in parochial school, I had a basketball coach, Bill Shields, who still to this day is a mentor of mine. He was a history teacher and our basketball coach. And, I just, loved what he did and how he went about doing things. Looking at everything as far as the camaraderie, the opportunity to teach, the opportunity to make an impact on kids' lives, regardless of the age, were all things that kind of appealed to me. And it kind of all hit home, after my first year of coaching freshman high school girls basketball, and then proceeded from there.
Wow. I'm going to say that wow again because my dog was shaking in the back. Wow. All right. So what has the adjustment been like as far as leading your own high school program and then now being an assistant of another program?
I look at it as a natural progression. When I started out in youth basketball coaching, and I was fortunate to get a high school freshman job. And then after that, a varsity assistant job, and then running my own varsity program as a head coach. All it is a restart now, is the way I look at it. I'm now in fortunate to be a college coach. I'm an assistant coach and absolutely love it. I love everything about it. I work for a very, very good head coach, Ryan Rebsum, at Aurora University. It's just, there's been no adjustment. It's just kind of the progression up the ladder as I look at it. The only adjustment you can say per se is in the college game is recruiting. High school, you can't really recruit. And you just kind of get the kids that kind of come out, but in college you can actually go out and recruit. So recruiting has been the only change. And I've seen no problem with recruiting. My corporate days, I was always in a sales job and it was relationship selling. Same thing with recruiting. You're building a relationship with the recruit, with the recruit's parents, with their coaches, both AAU and high school. And it's the same type of situation there. So it was kind of a natural progression for me to go over. From relationship selling into recruiting.
Okay, I see. That makes sense. So then tell me, what would you say is back to when you were the head coach of your varsity girls program, what was the biggest mistake that you made in your first year as a head coach?
Oh gosh. the biggest mistake would probably be thinking that every player could be motivated the same way. I always preached as a coach that you kind of adapt your offense to what your strengths are on your current team for that year. You can't put a square peg in a round hole type of scenario. And I found that out early on, my first year as a head coach. There were certain players, like I was fortunate to coach the school's all-time leading scorer, and she was also an all-state player. You could yell at her or raise your voice to her a little bit, and she was fine with it. There were other kids on the team that if you did that, they basically shut down and went into a shell and took it personally, and you got nothing out of them the rest of practice. So I had to kind of figure out that there are different ways to motivate people. Some of them is the tough love, as I like to call it, type of scenario. Others are, just asking questions, present a situation and let them kind of figure out an answer on their own. Or just asking them, what would you do in this situation, and see how they respond. And it's just all about building confidence. Yeah, trying to motivate everybody in the same manner was my weak point my first year when I was running my own program.
I see. Yeah, that's definitely something that I feel like at some point in everyone's career, they figure that out. They figure out that you can't talk to one player the same way that you might talk to another, or whatever motivational tactics that you use on player A, you can't use on player B. And I think, if you haven't figured it out already, you're going to, or you're still in the process of figuring it out. I'd probably say that I'm still in the process of figuring it out. I mean, especially with having a new team, every couple of years, you're always figuring it out.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, we figure it out. When a new recruiting class comes in, we haven't been able to do very little with our 20 classes in right now. But outside of seeing those kids, off a basketball court or in a high school game and everything else, I haven't figured out how to motivate some of those new kids on our roster yet. That probably won't happen until we get into some live scrimmages and some practice and stuff, and kind of just see what makes them all tick. So I mean, it's a constant learning process.
Right. So was there ever a time, and I know that coaching basketball wasn't your ultimately your career path, like you said, you went about it the backwards way, if you will. But was there ever a time where you questioned if maybe this was something that you even really wanted to dabble into because there's just so much mud to get through?
Yeah, it was probably when I came home after our my third season as being a high school varsity head coach, and basically told my wife, said, I'm gonna resign tomorrow. I'm gonna look for a college job and I'm gonna get one. And she looked at me and she said, really? And I said, yeah. And it took about 5.5 months. You apply to every job out there, called everybody that I had ever met who was involved in the college game and everything else. And then during that time, it was tough at times, but you got to keep muddling through. And I finally had the opportunity by a acquaintance of mine, somebody who's in our another coach who's in our conference now. I was talking to him one day and he said, hey, Aurora's looking for an assistant. Why don't you call Ryan? He's a good friend of mine. And I called Ryan, was down there the next day, and was hired the day after that.
Wow. Sometimes that's how it works.
Yeah, but
So
it was tough those 5 months at times. I mean, it's, from, I mean, again, having, it's selling. So I think part of my sales background kind of helped me. Just progress through that. But basically, like having a door slammed in your face if you're trying to make a sale type of thing. But yeah, I got one or two people that contacted me and had some initial interviews. But you know, the hardest thing was you have no, and it's a paradox. You know, people tell you you have no college coaching experience. And how are you supposed to get college coaching experience if nobody's going to give you a chance?
Right. I mean, that's with anything though, right? Everybody wants experience, but
yep.
If you don't have experience, you won't get hired. But if you don't get hired, you won't get experience. Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. So then tell me what made you just decide, you know what, I'm not coaching high school anymore. I'm coaching college.
I just felt like I was ready. You know, after 3 years running my own program, you know, 2 years prior to that being a varsity assistant, and the woman I worked for as a varsity assistant was a Division I women's basketball player, and was the player of the year in high school in the state of Wisconsin, and I learned a ton from her. And then I had 3 years of, you know, freshman experience, and, you know, just working with the varsity coaches and everything else. And I said, I'm ready to take the leap. I mean, if it's going to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, I'll figure out plan B, but I don't want to think about plan B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think about plan B, you're taking your focus off of plan A, right?
Yep.
Yay! Okay. So now you're at Aurora University. Tell me, what do you and the rest of the members on your staff do with your team to ensure that you are teaching them not just basketball, but you're teaching them how to be, you know, a great young woman in society and go kill it at whatever jobs, careers they get, et cetera, et cetera?
Right. You know, our one of the things we're big on at Aurora, and it's not just women's basketball, it's all our sports, community service. You know, part of life is given back. And, you know, we do at least two or three different things community service wise with our women's team. You know, last year we did a couple stints at the food pantry, working on Wednesday afternoons there and helping people out. And we also spent a Saturday morning at the domestic women's violence shelter in Aurora, Illinois. And we cleaned out some rooms so they could paint them and throw in some beds and furniture and that, make room for some more people. But, you know, that was pretty eye-opening, both those instances for our girls, because I think a lot of times people they just think everything is like their life is, but it's not even close. There's different people in different situations, regardless of how they got there, and you just got to be able to help them at all times. You know, it kind of goes in line with, you know, what our motto is at Aurora. You know, we preach family, school, basketball in that order. You know, family, most important thing. You know, our girls get together. You know, we call them family nights, at least two or three nights a week. You know, sometimes the coaches participate, sometimes we don't. You know, it's sharing a meal, talking about things, you know, playing board games. I mean, you name it, we've done everything under the sun. You know, school, you know, we're very big into school. You know, our team GPA last semester was 3.6. Well, we haven't had a team GPA below 3.6 in 2 years. And it's also the highest GPA at Aurora. So, you know, our girls understand academics, you know, are very, very important. And then after that is basketball, you know, and I say basketball is a bonus. If you're fortunate enough to play basketball in college, you know, it's icing on the cake, but you got to worry about, you know, the family stuff and the school stuff and the community service first.
Mm-hmm. So 3.6 GPA, that's pretty darn good. Tell me how you guys as coaches help make that happen.
Very little on the coaches. We recruit highly motivated, intelligent girls. And there's, you know, in the last 2 years, we have not had, one situation where we've had had to have a girl get extra study or tutor help. You know, we had a situation last year where a girl was close to it. And, you know, when we got grades before we said anything, we had already kind of heard that she was involved in some extra studying and tutor work outside of class, and took care of the problem herself. So, you know, we've been very, very fortunate with the girls we recruit. You know, they get it, you know, they just get after it, and have not had to get involved in it at all.
So you guys are blessed then.
If you want to say that, I guess either that or extremely lucky.
That's great. Okay, so we'll stay kind of close to home with this topic, but so what do you think is the biggest lesson that you've taught a player so far in your coaching career?
Oh gosh. You know, I like to say I like to teach life skills. You know, when I was a high school coach, it was preparing my high school players for college. It didn't matter if they were playing or not a sport in college, but just preparing them for the college life. And now as a college coach, you know, I like to impart life skills, you know, for when they're out of college you know, things of that nature. That's kind of in a general sort of setting. But, you know, one specific lesson, it's probably my second or third year as a high school varsity head coach, and it was empathy. You know, we had two girls on our team, happened to be our two best players, happened to both be captains. One was a multi-sport athlete and the other one wasn't. You know, they just didn't see eye to eye on things. And there was a little bit of infighting in that. You know, I had to sit them both down you know, basically say, hey, look at this issue and this where we're at right now through the other person's eyes. And if you can see the problem through their eyes, you know, and knowing them, maybe you can accept that and empathize with it. And you know, we can all just, you know, kind of figure it out and take it from there. So it's just empathy and seeing, you know, a problem through somebody else's eyes and not just yours.
Mm-hmm. How have you managed balancing basketball with your outside life?
I've been fortunate, you know, being older and starting my career later on. My kids are older. I have a 21-year-old daughter who's a senior in college, and I have a 16-year-old daughter who's a junior in high school. So as far as the, you know, the rigors of, you know, younger kids at home and something like that, I've been fortunate just because the way I started my career. But it's time management. You know, you need to be able to find time, you know, to do a little bit of everything. You know, you can't just make everything basketball, basketball, basketball. You know, I usually try to set aside, you know, a couple hours a day just for recruiting, you know, an hour or two a day for other non-recruiting types of things or meetings or things of that go on. You know, and then I set aside an hour a day or every other day just to make a phone call and talk to our current players, see how things are going and see how everything's at. And then, you know, finally, you know, throw in some time for, you know, my wife, you know, family dinners when we can have them are very important. You know, if everybody's home, trust me, there's going to be a family dinner. It's just making the effort and managing your time wisely. Again, I don't have young children. I mean, my kids are older, so it hasn't been that difficult for me.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Lots of coaches or younger coaches at least, who just, you know, get started in their career, or maybe they're 5 to 10 years in, they have babies and 7-year-olds running around. And I guess that creates, for lack of a better word, problems or just more stress and more time taken away from your schedule.
Our head coach has, you know, Ryan's got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old at home. You know, he finds a way to manage everything. It's been harder now because, you know, he's the stay at home Zoom dad on Wednesdays because his wife's a teacher. So he's teaching a 6-year-old Zoom school on Wednesdays. Trust me, seeing him on a Thursday some days, you can tell if it's been a bad teaching day for him with a 6-year-old.
I can only imagine.
Yep.
What's the ultimate goal for you as far as, you know, the ideal level you'd like to be at? Are you, of course you're happy where you're at now, but thinking long-term, is that where you'd like to stay? What's the goal?
You know, at this point in time, I don't have a specific goal to say, well, I want to be a D2 coach and I want to be a D1 coach or anything of that nature. You know, I love Division III. It's got its quirks and everything else. I have no preconceived notion of where I want to be or what I want to do or anything else. I'm just kind of, you know, enjoying the ride and taking it as it comes right now and just seeing where this career path is going to lead me.
Yeah, I hear you. So then with that being said, do you have any advice for aspiring coaches?
You know, probably advice-wise, it would be two things. You know, one is cultivate as many relationships as you can. If you're working a camp, I can think back in my days when I was a high school freshman coach and would go work a college camp. I'd write down people's names and phone numbers. Nowadays, you just put them into your phone. Just cultivate relationships. Don't burn any bridges with those relationships too. I've seen that happen. You never know when somebody who can potentially be an ally that you've upset for one reason or another, and they could be your big ally, and all of a sudden you've lost that opportunity from that standpoint. So, relationships, and the other one that holds well in my case is never stop learning. I'm a big person into reading. You name it, from, you know, Phil Jackson or Angela Duckworth or, anything under the sun, the Heath brothers come to mind and everything. So always keep learning. When I was a high school coach went to clinics, I always made a point that if I went to a clinic and I learned two new things, it was a good clinic. Didn't care if it lasted 4 hours, didn't care if it lasted 4 days. But if I came home and learned two new things, it was a good clinic. So, that kind of falls in line with my personality. I went back and got my master's degree to help me in my basketball coaching career path, when I was 45 years old. How many guys go back and get a master's at 45? It was interesting to say the least, but I was the oldest kid in my class. It was just never stop learning.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Especially what you said with, I've gone to so many coaches clinics, and just like you said, some that are 4 hours, some that are all day, some that are 2 days. And even if I took away one 2-minute shooting drill, I am so grateful and so happy that I learned that shooting drill. And I feel like also too, with that, there's been times when I'm at those clinics, and don't get me wrong, there's always something to learn at the clinics, but sometimes, it's something that maybe, okay, I don't want to run a 1-3-1 zone, so this doesn't apply to me, or whatever the case may be. But there have been times where I've been sitting there, I'm on hour 4, and I'm like, I think I might call it for today. And then just as I'm getting all my stuff together, they start talking about something that's piqued my interest. And then I find myself sitting right back down and taking some notes. It's every time, it never fails. When I'm just about to leave, it's like, well, no, don't go anywhere yet, because here's this.
Yeah, or I've had that experience too. I've also had the experience where, you look at your speakers and you'll be like, okay, I want to go hear, Mike Nabors talk, and here's what Mike Nabors is talking about, and I love that. And, you listen to that, and you get out of that session, and you're looking for another session, and, you see something or hear something, and you pop your head in, and unexpectedly, it's something that can help you. And like you said, it could be the most minute, shooting drill or anything else of that, something, you think is not a major thing, but it's still a learning point. It's still something new. It's still something you can bring to the kids to help them improve.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today. I really appreciated it.
Sure, not a problem. I enjoyed it.